How many churches have lost their tax-exempt status for preaching about the elections? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're joined by Janet Morena, our Associate Director. Janet, Election Day is approaching, and one of the questions we often get is, what can churches do? And unfortunately, a lot of churches and a lot of pastors have been led to think that they are far more restricted than they actually are. When we read the IRS guidelines for tax-exempt organizations, and as you know, the church has agreed to be tax-exempt, donations are tax deductible, and in return for that particular status, there are certain things we cannot do. But pastors think that the things we cannot do are far more numerous than they actually are.
That's right. You know, people think just because you get up and talk about the issues, like, for instance, life issues, abortion, talk about marriage and the importance of the marriage on the ballot, that that is not allowed. It's perfectly legal because you're just talking about issues. You're not endorsing a candidate.
As a matter of fact, if the IRS or anybody else were to tell us that we cannot preach about the issues, they would be violating the First Amendment to the Constitution.
That's right.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. It demands that we speak about the issues. That's our mission as a church, to tell people what is morally right, what is morally wrong, not just for individuals, but also for societies, even if those issues that we're speaking about in church happen to be the same issues that the candidates are debating prior to the election. Doesn't matter that they're talking about the same thing. That doesn't make us lose the right to talk about those issues.
And very often they bring in that phrase, separation of church and state. And what they do is they're really taking the total meaning of what our founding fathers had about that and diluting it. Because really what it meant was that there would not be a national religion. But religion was very much part of all our founding fathers' documents and all of that. So there's no such thing as this real separation of church and state. And very often what happens with pastors is they're just getting bad legal advice from their attorneys that are connected with the church.
Well, in this program, we're going to get some very good legal advice because we're going to hear from our friend Jim Bopp, who is advises such groups as Focus on the Family.
That's right.
And National Right to Life. Priests for Life and Gospel of Life Ministry.
That's right.
And Jim, first of all, was a speaker for us at a seminar we held called The Church in Politics, Are We as Restricted as We Think? This was a full-day seminar for clergies and attorneys, and we issued as a result of it this booklet containing the talks and containing a nice list of do's and don'ts for pastors and churches. And this is available to our viewers for their information.
That's right. They just need to contact us at gospeloflife.com. Go to our website, email us through our mail at gospellife.com, and we'll be happy to get that resource to them. And to their, they should, please, put it in your pastor's hands because
exactly.
It will really help them.
Because it's actually, the text of it is actually posted there on the website. The point here is you've already begun for us to make this distinction between issue advocacy and candidate advocacy.
Right.
Churches can and must and have the full freedom to deal with the issues so that if abortion, as it often is a dividing subject in the election, candidates take opposite positions on it, the church can still preach about abortion during an election. Some people say, oh, well, that's going to help one candidate instead of the other. Well, that's because that's the choice the candidate decides to take.
That's right.
Of course it's going to help one rather than the other. That doesn't take away our freedom to talk about those issues.
That's right.
Candidate advocacy is something different. And that's what we are not permitted to do, is to stand up in the pulpit and say, brothers and sisters, vote for John Smith. He's running for U.S. Senate in this state. We're telling you to vote for him. See, that would be the church taking a position not just on the issues, but on the actual candidate in the race. That's something we cannot do.
That's right. They also can't say, okay, brothers and sisters, we're now going to pass the hat, make an offering now for John Smith for his election campaign. You can't do that.
The church cannot collect for the campaign.
But you can get into that pulpit and you can clearly preach the issues. And then tell the people, look at the candidates based on these issues.
Well, and that's the other point, too. It's not only that we're teaching about the issues, but one of the issues we're teaching about precisely is the responsibility of people to engage in the political process.
That's right.
So I might not be able to get into the pulpit and say, vote for John Smith, but I can get into the pulpit and say, vote.
That's right.
I can get into the pulpit. I must get into the pulpit and say, brothers and sisters, there's an election coming up. We have a Christian responsibility to vote. We have a responsibility to evaluate the candidates. And we also have a responsibility to know that the primary issue is the right to life. Without the right to life, everything else collapses.
That's right.
So churches can do a whole lot more than they think they can. Why don't we listen to Jim talk about a few of these concepts, and then we'll come back and talk about more applications. Brothers and sisters, James Bopp Jr., an expert on the area of the church, the elections, and the tax law.
Churches have an important role in talking about moral issues as they impact our society. And pastors and priests have a special role to speak out on moral issues, even if those moral issues, as they often are issues that the government deals with. No church has ever lost its tax-exempt status for speaking out on moral issues, even when those moral issues are issues in a concurrent campaign for the election of candidates. The only three circumstances in which churches have ever lost their tax-exempt status is when they have expressly advocated the election or defeat of a candidate for office. Two, when they have given church resources, money, lists, things like that, to a candidate, so they made a contribution to a candidate, or when they've allowed church property to be used to essentially pass the hat for a candidate's election coffers. Those are the only times. Now, that doesn't mean that the IRS hasn't been engaged in some overreaching, as far as I am concerned, where they have been threatening or raising concerns or issuing warnings about what is, I believe, to be legitimate activity of churches to talk about moral issues, to talk about those moral issues in the context of public officials or candidates. As long as the church is not expressly advocating the election or defeat of a candidate. The IRS has put out some advice, and one of the factors that they look at, and I think it's a key factor, is whether or not you've mentioned any candidates. So if you don't mention any candidates, you are simply talking about an issue, or a moral issue in this case, abortion, and the responsibility, the civic responsibility that people have in conducting themselves as citizens in the voting booth. And you know, that's the kind of thing that has always been done by a wide variety of non-profit organizations that is talking about civic responsibility issues or moral issues. So I don't see any problem at all with a pastor or a priest talking about an issue. A church can only be held responsible for their own activities. That is, when an agent of the church engages in a certain activity or that church resources are used for a particular activity. So if some member of a Right to Life group comes onto the church parking lot and distributes literature, that's not the church doing it. That's some third party, and they are responsible for what they do. So there's no requirement that, or there's no liability of the church for some third party's distribution of literature. And furthermore, there's no requirement that you have to, you know, put up a fence, put a minefield, you know, armed guards, and keep people off your premises. If you choose not to engage in, you know, that sort of security, well, that's your option. And really, nothing has changed about that over the last few years.
Well, I'm grateful to Jim, and I hope that you, brothers and sisters, take to heart the advice that he's given us, the clear teaching that he gives all across the country, and let your pastors and others know about what he has said. You notice how he talked about the church parking lots. Now, this is an issue that comes up all the time.
Well, yes, because, you know, sad and lament of the weekend before every election, we have what we call get kicked out of the parking lot Sunday. And unfortunately, you know, pastors feel such an obligation to go run out there and say, get out of here, leave.
They have no such obligation.
And they really don't. Just leave the people alone.
Right.
Nothing's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to happen to your tax-exempt status.
That's right.
Let those people put those voter guides out there so they can figure out, you know, who are the candidates that are going to respect the family and marriage issues and the abortion issue in this upcoming election. It's so important. It's such a simple activity.
These are good Christian people. These are disciples of Jesus Christ who have taken to heart his command to change the world, to change society. They're giving witness to the truth. They're informing their neighbors of what they need to know when they go into the voting booth. Who are we to stop them? Oh, well, they're doing it on the church property. Well, Jim, just explain. It's not an activity or expenditure of the church. If another group is coming in and distributing literature, the church hasn't paid for that literature.
They didn't pay for the
church didn't organize the lit drop.
That's right.
Leave the people alone.
That's right. You know, what they have to think about is how many churches have lost their tax exempt status so far in the history of the United States with any political activity, Father. How many have lost?
Well, for allowing material to be distributed in the parking lot, zero.
Okay.
And how many have lost their tax exemption for speaking about the elections and telling people they have to go vote?
How many have lost, Father?
Zero.
Ah. And what about the pastors that, you know, just they have what's called a mute spirit, isn't it? Like when it gets into the election. But how many have lost their taxes up status because they've said to them, register to vote, or we're going to have voter registration next Sunday. Please, everyone, fill out the forms. Mm-hmm. How many have lost their taxes up status, Father?
Zero.
Zero.
Not a single one.
It's amazing. So we really, really need the people listening right now to take these resources, take what they heard from Jim. You know, Jim's basically, everything he has said is in that booklet, The Church and Politics, Are We Restricted as We Think, that seminar that we gave, in addition to some other legal experts.
Yes.
And this is what we need to do. We have to put these pastors, our pastors, at ease with this. They get so nervous that something's going to happen.
You see, churches can even distribute voters' guides, and the norms for voters' guide distributed by churches are that the voters' guide itself has to be nonpartisan. In other words, it simply needs to take an objective look at the candidates in the race and their positions on a variety of issues, and simply to say, this is where candidate A stands on these issues, this is where candidate B stands on the same issues. The voter's guide itself that mentions the candidates cannot say this position is right, this position is wrong, or it cannot have like a check mark. Okay, here's their positions, but here's the one you want to vote for.
Right.
See, that's where the church cannot go. Now, we're not saying that people cannot go that way. All sorts of political groups and individual citizens can create and distribute that kind of information where they do endorse the right position and the right candidate. But the church, even the church, can hand out a voter's guide as long as that guide is neutral. Neutral and nonpartisan.
That's right.
The church can inform its people about where the candidates stand.
And let's not forget that the people themselves, they don't have to have a mute spirit. They can certainly, if you know who the pro-life, pro-family candidates are, please tell your friends, tell your church family, endorse that candidate personally. You certainly can.
Even a pastor can,
even
in his
pastor.
Personal capacity. Mm-hmm. As long as he doesn't communicate it through the church, he can't. In other words, you can't use church funds to communicate a pastor's personal endorsement. So he can't put it in the church bulletin. He can't say it from the pulpit. But he can certainly say it at a press conference in favor of that candidate or by a letter to the editor or by helping out in various ways. As long as he makes it clear that he's not speaking for that particular church.
And we know we
speaking
all,
in his own capacity.
We all know through experience that the candidates that are pro-abortion, they do this all the time. I've seen them in churches up in pulpits practically being endorsed, and nothing happens to those candidates. And it just seems that we become so timid, we have a timid spirit, that we're afraid to just do what the IRS says we can actually do.
Mm-hmm. Again, the church is even permitted to have a candidate come in and speak. Now, again, as we've already mentioned, the church cannot pass the hat for that candidate. Jim has mentioned this already, and or make an endorsement. But a candidate could speak.
That's right.
Could speak on the issues, or could be introduced there in the congregation. The other thing, of course, the church bulletin. What can be put in the church bulletin? And what we advocate is Talk about the general responsibility to be involved in the political process. Tell people how the process works. Mm-hmm. Remind them if your state, for example, has early voting, as many states do.
It's perfectly legitimate
for the church to remind the people, ladies and gentlemen, in our state, early voting begins, you know, next week, and get to the polls early and vote for the candidate of your choice. Nothing wrong with the church saying things like that. You're activating. See, it's not so much about politics. It's about faith. Putting the faith into action so that we help to transform the world. So the bulletin contained information like that. And the teaching, again, on what the key issues are. You know, God's people have to be attentive to where candidates stand on these issues and lay it out there in the church bulletin.
That's right. And we even have sample bulletin announcements.
We do.
That are, 501c3 friendly, will pass muster with the IRS guidelines. So if you'd like to get those for your pastor, they should just contact us at gospelblight.com, and we'll get those resources to them.
As a matter of fact, our resource, our educational booklet, Voting with a Clear Conscience, can be distributed by churches. In fact, there's even a legal letter at the beginning of this book giving the reasons why distributing this particular booklet will not violate the tax-exempt status. Because, again, it doesn't endorse a candidate. It simply teaches on the issues, the moral responsibilities of the people of God. Now, another area here, of course, is when the voting days come, whether it's early voting or election day itself, the church can actually help people get to the polls.
That's right.
The church, first of all, can tell its members who are homebound about the absentee ballots. It can make sure they get the absentee ballots, help them to fill them out. There's nothing wrong with this. What would be wrong is if the church said, well, we're only going to register Democrats.
Right.
But we're only going to help Republicans get to the poll.
Right.
That would be wrong, because that would be a partisan effort. Now, Democratic or Republican groups or individual citizens can do that on their own. They can be as partisan as they want. But when it comes to the activities and expenditures of the church, the fact that we cannot be partisan doesn't mean that we can't do it at all. The church can help get people to the polls. It can use its own transportation vehicles or round up people to volunteer to bring people to the voting booth on election day. That is a perfectly legitimate activity of the church.
And so many churches, Father, have church vans. What about the nursery babysitting services they have during church services?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on election day, the very people that run those services on Sunday can come in on election day. And for these young mothers who feel they have a lot of children, that it'd be difficult to go and vote, let the church be open all day for that reason, and let them drop the children off, go vote, and then come back and pick them up. That would really help a lot of young mothers get to the polls.
You know what the church can even do? And this may surprise some people, but the IRS itself will tell you these things. The church can take its list of church members and, first of all, go through that list and call them one by one or mail them and say, election day is coming up. Here's where your polling place is. Make sure you get out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what the church can also do? It can rent its list to candidates. What it cannot do is give them a break. In other words, it can't donate the list to the candidate. All right, that would be a contribution. That's wrong.
Right.
That would be wrong for a church to do. But at the going rate, that is the same, use the same for all people that might want to rent that list. You could even rent this list to a candidate so the candidate can contact the people with partisan information. Now, whether a pastor wants to do that or not is one thing. But don't try to use the excuse that it's illegal as the reason why you're not going to do
it. That's right.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, especially if you're a pastor, if you're involved in church ministry. Ask for our booklet, The Church and Politics, Are We as Restricted as We Think? And once again, the text itself is at our website, gospeloflife.com. We can't use the law or the IRS as an excuse for our own cowardice or our own unwillingness to speak out and to engage our people in the election process. If we're afraid to do it, let's admit that we're afraid. But let's not use the IRS as a handy excuse not to do anything. There's a lot we can do. Our legal experts have told us what we can do. And now, my friends, only one thing remains, and that is for us to do it. For the kingdom of God to make even greater progress in this world, let us elect godly men and women this election day. Stay with us now on Gospel of Life. After this break, we'll go to our action segment for other things you can do.
I want to be a I grow up?
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. Tens of thousands of Christians are signing up for the National Campaign of Prayer in preparation for the elections. You too can do so by going to prayercampaign.org. The prayer intentions are, one, that in this year's elections our nation will embrace the moral values of a culture of life. Two, that America will reclaim her founding principles of faith and dependence on God in public life. Three, that believers will reject apathy and take an active role in the elections by registering to vote and actually voting. And four, that candidates will understand their responsibility to serve the people, to protect life and family, and to adhere to the law of God. Visit priestsforlife.org to sign up for the prayer campaign. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome to our action segment. Janet, this election day, not only are we putting various candidates into office, but a number of states have very important ballot initiatives, including this great state of California. We want to tell people in this action segment what that ballot initiative is all about. And even if they don't live in California, to contact as many people as they can who do so that they can get them to vote yes on this very important initiative.
You know, it's the ballot initiatives, too, that get the least attention around election time. Most people tend to just show up and not even know what's on those initiatives. So this is something we really need them to pay attention. This is so important because parental notification, I mean, first of all, California is a state where most of the abortions...
25% approximately of the nation's abortions.
Abortions occur in California.
Yeah.
So imagine if we had a parental notification law, which just means that before the abortion can be performed, all that has to happen is the parents must be notified. It doesn't mean if the parents don't want the abortion that it can be stopped.
It's not a parental consent.
It's not consent.
Right.
It's just a simple notification. But we know by other states that have passed similar laws that this has greatly reduced the number of abortions because parents, as a parent myself, for goodness sakes, if I knew one of my daughters was seeking an abortion, I would be stepping in and saying, well, dear, you don't have to do that. I'm here to help you. You know, mommy's here for you. And that's what most... That's a motherly instinct, to be there for your child.
Yes.
For goodness sake, this is a very simple initiative, but the problem is, I bet you a lot of people watching right now that are in California, or know people in California, probably don't even know what's going to be on the ballot.
It's going to be called Proposition 85, and on our website, gospeloflife.com, there is a link, prominent link, to the websites that gives the specific information. They'll be able to read the text of the initiative. They'll be able to see what this says. First of all, let's just think this through a little bit. The vast majority of the public, some polls show more than 80% of the public agree that if a minor age girl is going to get an abortion, the parents should know about it.
That's right.
Even people who say that they're pro-choice. This is not a matter of, this ballot initiative is not should abortion be legal or not. Even people who think it should be legal can understand and agree with this ballot initiative that says, hey, if she's going to exercise that choice, make sure her parents know about it.
That's right.
Now some people, you know, this was on the ballot before in California in the past, and it almost passed. So we're very confident that there's a public support for this. But some people were under the mistaken impression that they had to vote against it because it somehow approved of abortion. Abortion is already legal all across the board.
That's right.
This ballot initiative is not making it any more legal than it already is. What it's doing is putting up a roadblock to to abortions that don't have to occur? Because we know, we work with a lot of these young girls who feel like, oh, if my parents come to find out I'm pregnant, they're going to kill me or they're going to kick me out of the house. And we even help some of them to talk with the parents and find out that the parents end up being very supportive.
Well, that's one of the things that happens very often at the pregnancy resource centers all over the country, is that these young girls come in, you know, desperate and frightened, and the pregnancy center says, we'll help you.
Yeah.
We'll make an appointment. We'll bring your parents in. We'll talk to them.
And they do help.
And they do. And, yeah. And 90% of parents come around full circle when they find out that their child is pregnant.
So the ballot initiative, people need to be calling their friends and relatives in California, tell them to vote yes on Proposition 85, tell your pastors to announce it in the churches. Those websites that we talked about have bulletin announcements that can be utilized. And we know the church can do a whole lot at election time, including on something like this.
This is perfectly legal.
The church can take a position and say, vote yes, because this is not a candidate. This is a ballot initiative.
That's right.
The church can say to the people, vote yes on Proposition 85. Websites, email lists, phone banks, people need to engage all these methods and make sure that Californians vote yes on this important initiative.
And especially pastors in California, because we know the groups that are out there that are supporting this initiative, they have nice flyers ready that they're going to want to distribute in those churches that 72 hours before the election. Please don't stop them. These ballot initiative flyers, information flyers, are 100% legal. There will not be a church in the state of California that will lose its tax-exempt status because they allow these ballots.
The church itself, in this case, can print the flyers and send them out.
That's right.
All right, thanks, Shannon, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for all that you're going to do. I know that we can rely on you because you've come through in the past. You will do so again so that we can advance parents' rights and also the right to life. Thank you for joining us at Gospel of Life. Suppose a candidate said, I support terrorism. Would you even bother to ask his position on other issues? Support of terrorism disqualifies him from consideration. So it is with one who supports abortion. That, too, is the taking of innocent human life, and support for abortion should disqualify a candidate from consideration. This is Father Frank Pavone.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life,
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.